youthful days are gone, and old age is stealing on like me. And your body bends beneath the weight of care. He will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Give the Lord a hand clap if you don't mind. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Grace, for opening up with us in the devotion this morning. I want to take you to a passage in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we're looking at verses on prayer, beginning with verse number 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Thus ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. We want to preach on the message, prayer is worth it. Prayer is worth it. I want you to remember that this week. When you encounter difficulties and struggles, prayer is always worth it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for allowing us to come into the house of prayer. And Lord, that we would direct our prayers to you. And Lord, that we would seek you with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And that we would indeed knock on heaven's door, that you might pour out the blessing that we so desperately need in our lives. God, we thank you for all these things. Bless us now as we deliver your word. May we do so, Father, and may it be given clearly, may it be given powerfully, that the Holy Spirit would minister to every heart in this service. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all the people of God said, amen. You know, it's sad that prayer has become a rare practice among believers. There are many who don't pray because they feel that their prayer does not get results. Still others are too busy to pray, so they lean upon someone else and someone else will intercede for them. The reality is that God expects to hear your prayer. He wants to hear your prayer. God is concerned about the needs and the struggles that you face in life. We're living in a world of sin, and so we therefore know that we need prayer. Amen. We need prayer. And so we have to devote our prayer to God. But the question that's on our minds sometimes when we pray, is my prayer really worth it? Am I going through an exercise and just saying words, or does God listen to our prayer? In these words, Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. And I want to tell you, we mentioned this on last Sunday, but Jesus transformed how people pray. He transformed how they would direct their prayers unto God. The Jewish people had been taught, go to the priest. If you need a prayer breakthrough, go to the priest and say to him, would you pray for me? In other words, that's an intercessor or someone who's praying for you. That's the priest. Then others were taught, well, you got to make a sacrifice. You got to give something If you want to hear from God, Jesus turned both of these ideas upside down because he simply said, ask. Ask, and what? It shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. See, in chapter 6, he gave you the model prayer. In chapter 6, he said, pray our Father which is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And as we pray that prayer, as we go through that as our model, Jesus said, now, it's not complicated. What you need to do is to learn how to ask, learn how to seek, and learn how to knock, and God will hear your prayer. Can I get an amen? Okay, thank you. I was wondering if y'all had them today. If you have them, you might as well give them, amen? But I've been discovering, as I've studied, I've been discovering some amazing things about prayer that all throughout the Bible, this amazing God that we serve wants to hear from us. He really wants to hear the thing that we're struggling with, or he wants to hear the things that we're rejoicing over. God wants to communicate with you. Why in the world would we not want to communicate with him? Here's Almighty God who's saying, I will make time. Anytime you call on me, I will make time to hear your prayer. I'm never too busy. Now, I'm wondering if we can turn that around and say, do we make time to pray and seek God? He certainly wants to hear from us. You say, preacher, what's the value of prayer? God hears you. God answers your prayer. Now, I can tell you that there's not a prayer that goes up to heaven that God doesn't answer. May not be the answer that you are looking for, but it's the answer that you need. Always recognize that when God answers your prayer with a no, you needed a no. You needed to understand that in your best interest, God said, I don't want to give you that. But anytime God says, I'm not going to give you that, he's got something else in mind. He's got something else that he wants to pour out into your life. And if you had that, it would be occupying the space that God would automatically fill you with had you just asked the right thing. Now, the Bible is honest. It says to us in Romans 8:26, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. Two things there. You don't know what you should pray for. Then you don't pray as you ought to be praying. But God in heaven wants to hear from you. Now, sometimes he says, wait. And anytime God tells you wait, it's good for you to wait because you're not prepared for it. Amen. It's right for you. Amen. You need it, but not right now because you can't handle it. Amen. A lot of people pray that God would make them a millionaire. Are you sure you want that? Right. Are you sure you want that? Or should you be praying, God, just give me the things that I need. Give me this day. Amen. My daily bread. Give me this day. Give me what you, and I'm guaranteeing you, that if you got what God wanted for you in this day, it'll be more than enough. Are y'all still here? Amen. So we've got to look at prayer as a time where God may say no. He may say wait, but then again, God says yes. You say, well, how can God say yes to me? Well, remember when Jesus went back to heaven, he gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. So now it's not you praying by yourself on your own terms, but sometimes as we are led by the Holy Spirit, he prays through us. He will whisper in our ear, pray about this. Pray about this need. Sometimes you've had people that have been laid on your heart. How many of y'all had that to happen? And you've been prompted by the Holy Spirit, pray for that person. Then a couple of days later, you find out that they had a major need or something that they were going through. And because your prayer went up to glory, God's answer came down. That's the worth of prayer. That's the worth of prayer. Now, we read 2 Chronicles as an indictment against us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. And we read that as an indictment that we're sinners. Well, guess what? You're a sinner. But the amazing thing is God answers that. He says in his word, I will hear from heaven. That if he didn't say anything else after that, he said, I will hear from, that's enough for you. That's enough. That meant that God heard you. Let me just put it in terms of the way the old people would say it. I love the Lord because he heard my cry and pitied my every groan. Sometimes we need to recognize that the amazing thing about God in prayer is not that he bestows us with everything that we pray for, but God Almighty sits down beside you and said, I'm hearing you. I'm listening to you. I love the fact that you're calling upon my name. You're recognizing me, and I'm going to hear your prayer. But God doesn't stop with just hearing the prayer. He said, I'll forgive your sin. Now, remember, you're a sinner, right? And he says, I'm going to forgive your sin. Folks won't forgive you. 10 years go by, and they say, I remember what you did. Well, guess what God says? I don't remember that. I cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. That's this amazing God that you and I serve. And then he says something else more amazing that's beyond our own prayer requests. He said, I'll heal your land. Some of us are looking at this world as a hopeless place to live in. But just remember that God is still in heaven. Amen. And God is still healing the land. Yes, we've got a sick world that we're living in. Anytime people would go into a mosque where people are worshiping, I may not agree with their form of worship, which I don't, but I love people. And I wept when I heard the fact that someone out of hatred would go into a place of worship and destroy innocent people's lives. Ladies and gentlemen, that is evil. Amen. But God said, if you pray, I'll heal your land. Amen. I will come in. I'll remove the hatred. As a matter of fact, God will remove the hate conversations from people's lips. They'll be so ashamed of it. So the righteous need to stand up. We need to say, this is not what we're living for. This is not what we're living for. Let me go on, and I'm getting into another sermon, and you all saying amen and getting me into another sermon, just like telling a dog, sick him. No, I'm going to run down a different trail. My daddy used to say he had a bird dog. He didn't have a deer hunting dog, and lo and behold, the dog would start running deer. Yeah. But let's look at this subject of prayer. Let's look at the value of prayer. And more personally, I want you to ask yourself the question, how valuable is my prayer? Does it really carry any weight? Does it have any influence with God? And I'm going to answer you, and you can put it on your paper, yes. Yes. But you got to know that God is listening. Amen? So here we go with prayer. Jesus said these words. He said, now, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. 3 times the word shall is used. Now, whenever that's used in the Bible, that comes in the form of a promise. That comes in the form of God saying, now, if you do this, I'm going to do this. And remember now, going back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, God said, now, if you do this, I'm going to do this. Same thing is being uttered by Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, now, if you do this, I'm going to do this. It said, it shall be given. Now, when that shall is said that way and it's expressed that way, that's an unconditional promise. God said it might be, it shall be done under, no. He said it shall be given you. Did you get that? That's a bold promise. I know you all sitting back there going, hot dog, man, that means I get to ask him for anything. Well, remember you being prompted by the Holy Spirit. I heard that all. But as you're prompted by the Holy Spirit, God would send the riches of glory into your life. Heaven will come down and glory will fill your soul. God will give you so much joy that you're almost to the point where you can't stand it, because what you don't really need is just a lot of worldly riches. What you need is the very presence and the awesome glory of God in your life. I guarantee you, when the glory of God shines over your circumstance, you will no longer be brokenhearted. You will no longer be lonely. You will no longer be struggling, but you will say, thanks be to God. I found found the answer. I learned to pray. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, man, that's a dangerous term there. Everyone, unless you mean it. No one would write a will and just say anybody. And yet God uses these terms, whosoever will, everyone, anybody, and he brings it to us and say, why don't you pray? Everyone who asks does what? Receives. Everyone who seeks does what? Finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be open. This is the amazing promise of this God. So never say, my prayer is not worth it. Give me a few minutes and we're going to unpack this. First, let's look at the asking. Asking produces results. I like to do these things called spiritual equations, where if you do this, this equals that. Or in some cases where God is involved, if you do this, this multiplies that. Huh? And you get results. We're talking about outcomes. Some people are questioning, why do I need to go to church? I can look at my TV. Now, you can get a message from there, but you won't get fellowship. You can get a message from TV, your TV bringing you, your TV pastor, okay? All right? But you will not have the fellowship, and plus you will not be fulfilling the commandment of Jesus, love ye one another. What you going to do, love your TV? We got a problem, Jay. Okay. Hold on. But if you ask, the Bible says you shall receive. You shall receive. That's crazy. Okay. Technology. Kick off the, all right, first thing, connecting with God. Say connecting. Connecting. Every time you pray, you're connecting with God. Amen. This amazing God in heaven connects with you. We use the word now, connection, in the fact that we can go and talk to somebody. Yeah, I connected with Joe so-and-so. But I can tell you that unless this light is connected with a socket and a power source, it cannot shine. All right, now here's you in prayer talking with God, and God says, I'm going to hear you. I'm going to come to you. And so when you connect with God, you automatically have the power of God now working in your life. If nothing else happens, you've already connected. So when we come together as a body of believers, we do this thing called corporate connection, because we're two or three. Now, it's good to know we've got about 100 or so here today. But if only two or three came in here today and we connected with God, amen. God said, I'll be in the midst of you. Amen. Are y'all still in the house? Amen. You need a connection with God. Amen. Whenever you're going through a problem, you need a connection with God. Whenever you're facing a difficulty or a struggle, you need a connection with God. Amen. David would have never slain Goliath if he didn't have a connection with God. Amen. What happened to Saul? Saul lost his connection. But every time you pray, you reconnect with this almighty God who says, I am with you. Hand clap right there. Amen. Second thing, you communicate. You communicate with God. Who ever heard of having someone that you love and you don't tell them you love them? You communicate. Husbands and wives, if you're married, communicate. Talk to each other. Say something. Grunt every now and then. You want to communicate. And so this God that we have, we're communicating. When we ask him, even when he says no, you're communicating with him. Because we can say, well, Lord, is there a reason why you've said no? And then God will show you. Amen. He will reveal that to you. And again, the joy is that you're able to get in the presence of God, to talk to God, and to lay your burden, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Then the third thing that happens is God is committing to you. He is committed. Because anytime you say to someone, ask and you shall receive, that means he's committed. He's committed to answering your prayer. Now, Jesus uses the analogy. If your child should come in and they're going to ask you for a meal and you give them a snake, that's not love. Every parent would give their child food. I've seen my mother and my father take food off of their plate to put on ours because we were hungry and we were greedy. And they would take food off their plate to put on ours. Are you with me? Nowadays, folks just scrape stuff in the trash. Hello. But this amazing God says now, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to his children? Simply because you ask. Now, I could stop with just asking. But this thing is layered. It's almost like you're going to get this prayer answered. So you start with the asking, but then you go to the seeking. As if the asking wasn't good, he said, seek and you shall find. Seeking produces results. So here we go. First of all, it is an examination. When you're seeking, you have to ask yourself, now what am I looking for? If you ask God and then you don't seek, you don't look for it, well, why did you ask him? You've wasted his time. Now you've got to look for it. You've got to seek it. And the second thing is the expectation that you're going to get it. Now, I want to go back to this. Be careful what you ask for. All right? Because when you seek it and it doesn't look like what you... Oh, I wasn't expecting him to do that. Some of y'all praying for a husband. You better be careful what you ask for. You might get him. Come on. And some of you men praying for wives. You better be careful what you're asking for, because it may not be. So in the seeking, we get to say, God, is this really what I need? Amen. And the way you seek is to go to his word. You compare what you want with what the word says. Then you will go through this process. Wait a minute, God, let me make sure that this is what I need. I've prayed for different jobs in my life. Lord, I had more jobs than shoes to wear. I've had a bunch of jobs. I love my job now. Thank God for my job. But I had a bunch of jobs. Some of them I shouldn't have asked. Because you're filling out resumes. Boss man expecting you at work, and you online posting resumes. Amen. Well, that's another story another time. But then the expectation. The expectation is to seek God's answer. It's up to you to seek God's answer. Don't just say, well, he knows what I need. No, no, no. You tell him what you need. And then you seek it. All right, now, what do you mean by seeking? Some of the things that God would tell people to do, he touched a man's eyes, and just Jesus touching him would have healed him. But he told him, go to the pool of Siloam. Now, if he had never got up and gone to the pool of Siloam, he would have never received his complete healing. Amen. See, a lot of us are reading Psalm 23 this way. Yea, though I ride through the valley of the shadow of death. You ain't going to ride nowhere. You're going to walk. All right. Are y'all with me? Amen. Prayer becomes our responsibility to seek what God has prepared for. And then exaltation. What happens? I had to get three E's in there. Okay. So when you're exalted, I've never prayed an effective prayer yet where it didn't lift me up. Sometimes you go to God and you're pouring your heart out the things that will leave you broken in life. But then by the time you say amen, something has happened to you. Paul gives us a picture of this in Ephesians. He said, we are in heavenly places. We're still on the earth. But in our heart, in our spirit, we've been lifted so high to where now the problem isn't as big. We still got it. You know, you still got the need, but you've been exalted. You've been lifted up above those conditions to where now you can say, thank God I am free. I am free. This thing has no longer got me bound. I got to hurry up and finish here. But then the knock. Everybody say knock. Now, the thing with our knocking and the thing with our seeking God, and I want to just let you know that, you know, this is for those that have been locked out. This doesn't belong to those who've had open doors. All right, this is for the folk that have been locked out economically. Y'all got quiet on me. How many of y'all have ever had doors to close in your face? You better say yes. You got the right color that did look like some stuff got. Come on now, I'm not, that's not a racial statement. That is a true fact. But let me tell you something. When folks close doors in your face, this might not be good theology, but you got a door opening God. You got a God that says, just let them close it. I'm going to open it. I will open doors. There have been people who've been shut out, locked in, locked down. Anytime you are in a place where you can work, and this nation has really go back and find its conscience. You can't allow people to get old and sick and cannot care for themselves and then take away the things that will bring about their healing. That is evil. Amen. Our policymakers, they don't realize what they're doing. They don't recognize what they're doing. Every person in this country except the Native American is an immigrant. Now, of course, we came here under diverse circumstances. Yeah, we came here and we weren't allowed to be on top of the ship. We were on the deck, but we made it. This is not racism. This is just reality. Anytime your foreparents lived under those conditions and they made it, thanks be to God. We some strong, touch somebody, tell them we some strong people up in here. We're some strong people. Now folks are thinking that we're weak. No. We haven't lost that strength. We haven't lost that strength because we haven't lost our God. We haven't lost contact with him. It's for those who've been locked out. And you feel the need to knock on some doors. You feel the need to call on heaven. Now, let me give you three wrong doors. Three wrong doors. Don't knock on the door of people that they're just as bad as you. When you go to that door and you see that you're at that door, no, I ain't going to knock on that door. I'm not going to knock. And second, wrong door. Number two, don't go to the door where the people don't care anything about you. Are y'all in the house? A lot of time, God is the last door that we want to knock on because let me go over here and see what this one says. And let me see what this one says. And by the time you've worn yourself out, you ain't got but one door left. Then thirdly, don't go to the door where people don't know you. They don't know you. God expects you. Because I looked at this thing. I said, now, he has to know our knock. If he tells you to knock, then he has to know it's you. Oh, I love that. So when you go knocking on the door, you know what he says? Not who is it? Come on in. Yeah. Oh, my God. When you go to God, I got to hurry up and close this. It's almost time for Sunday school, and y'all just saying amen. Won't y'all stop and say, that's it, preacher. Sit down. But I got to go to some examples. God said, you know what? They're not going to know how to ask. They're not going to know how to seek. And they're not going to know how. So he gave us some examples. Solomon, remember him? He asked God not for riches, not for influence. He asked God for wisdom. Now, let me tell you how amazing this God is. God said, now, because you didn't ask for these things, I'm going to give them to you. All right. Made him the wealthiest. Anytime you carrying gold, not gold certificates, you carrying gold around in your pockets. In other words, they had so much gold, they would make gold vessels and none of them would look like the other because they were just that. Lord, I know y'all saying, Lord, you got any more gold? Remember, he might say no. Solomon asked for wisdom. Never be afraid to ask for something that you know is going to bring him glory. And you being out of the problem that you're in brings him glory. Your head is lifted up. Now you understand that you got the victory in Christ. Second thing, Job. Everybody said Job. When I first started reading it, I said Job. You know, Job, yeah. Anyway. Job wanted to know one thing when he was going through his problem. Where is God? Where is God? I know I've called on him before, and I just want to find him. Job 23 and verse 3, he says, oh, that I might find him. That I might find him. When your soul desires the presence of God, he wanted to find God. And guess what? God showed up. Job could not reach God, but God came to him in a whirlwind. In other words, the whirlwind of trouble had taken everything away from Job, but God stirred a whirlwind going the opposite direction, and God said, I'm going to bring everything back. But Job, you and me need to talk. We need to talk. And as they talked, you could see Job changing because he was seeking God. I want to say this, and I'm going to go to my seat. As you seek God, you change. You change. I would not be where I am, and Lord knows I'm not where I want to be. But when I look back and see where the Lord has brought me from, Rufus, I'm not where I used to be. Still climbing. Still climbing. Still climbing. Still going on with the Lord, but you got to seek him. Then lastly, oh, Lord, have mercy. Paul and Silas. Everybody said Paul and Silas. No, y'all said Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas. Listen, they were locked into a jail in Philippi for preaching the word of God. Let me tell you what happened. They came up with a prayer knocking plan. You know what they said? We're going to knock on heaven's door. And in Acts 16, it said that while one prayed, in other words, when you got one praying, you got somebody who's singing. And what the singing does is keep the one that's praying encouraged. It's like a cheerleader on the sideline saying, keep on praying, keep on praying. And they kept on praying. And guess what God did? He could have said, I'm going to send somebody tomorrow morning. But at midnight, while they were praying, God shook the jailhouse that they were in and loosed the shackles off of everybody. In other words, when you pray right, heaven belongs to you. When you talk to God, he will come down and give you the praise and give you the deliverance that you need. They prayed so much and it shook the jailer to where the same thing that got Paul and Silas in trouble, the jailer said, I want it. I want. In other words, when you got something that God is shining through your life, others will see it and say, hey, I want that. I need that in my life. So whenever you think that your prayer is not worth it. Everybody say prayer is worth it. Prayer is worth it when you're burdened down. Prayer is worth it when you need healing. Everybody say prayer is worth it. When they're telling you that prayer is not worth it, prayer is worth it when your children won't do right. Prayer is worth it when things are going on in your family, in your church, in your job. Prayer is worth it because you're calling on God. And God is still in the business of making a way where there is no way. I got to finish. I got to stop preaching. I'm not finished. But our part two is coming up at 11 o'clock. If you want to stay over. But prayer really is worth it. I'm going to ask that we all stand. If there be one today, perhaps something said has touched your heart and your life to where now you recognize that you need prayer. Don't let anyone talk you out of the opportunity and the privilege to pray to your Heavenly Father. Because our God is a prayer answering God. With everyone today, we're going to get ready for the offering. There might be, as we come today, we're going to ask the officers to please come as we present our gifts unto the Lord. Did y'all learn something today? It's my fifth time of getting it. I'll tell you what, after the fifth time. Now, we do have the CDs that you can get those if you want to go back over it. And the part where I split verbs, just say, well, Lord, just let him go. Let him go. It was in his heart. But you know, your Ebonics kick in when you get happy. Amen. You ain't worried about getting the verbs right. You worry about getting to God. All right, go ahead and pray, bro. I'm holding up service.
Sorry, go ahead, bro.
Hey, I'm going to turn this mic off.
Good morning, Crossroads. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we come just now as humble as we know how. We want to thank you, Father, for watching over us all night long, and you touched us with the finger of love and woke us up to a brand new day. You gave us a mind to come this way, Father, together and to listen at your word. Father, we ask you to please and kind continue to bless the sick and afflicted, those who are burdened down in distress. Father, remember those in the nursing home, those on the battlefield. Throw around them your mighty arms of protection, shield them from all hurt, harm, and danger. Father, continue to go with us, stand by us, teach us how to walk the straight and narrow. Father, now we come to give back a portion of what you have blessed us with. In Jesus' precious name we pray. May it be used for the uplifting of your kingdom down here on earth. These and all other blessings we ask in Jesus' precious name. For his sake we pray. Amen.